God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. I first hiked the Grand Canyon when I was 15 years old, and I've been privileged to hike rim to rim and top to bottom in a couple different locations on several different occasions. I remember the first time I hiked Grand Canyon, I had a film camera, a little pocket Vivitar camera that had film in it, if you can remember those days. And after hiking to the bottom and after hiking out, I opened the back of the camera to develop the film and realized, to my dismay, I did not have any film in the camera. Now, maybe you're wondering how I could be so dumb as to do something like that, but you're probably only wondering that because you haven't met me. In my house back home, in fact, at this very moment, I have a little disposable camera, back when such cameras had film, again. And that camera has been in my junk drawer for many years with undeveloped film inside. Just yesterday, I saw an app where you can develop undeveloped film on your phone, smartphone, and turn them into pictures. And so you simply scan the negatives to see what you are developing. Now, may I say, with a dated analogy here perhaps, that the same is true of your life. If you want to know where you're going, scan the negatives to see what you are developing. There are a lot of assumptions that only take time to develop. There are a lot of ethics we can subscribe to that only take time to develop. There are certain habits, good or bad, that only take time to develop. If I do 30 push-ups every day, as small as that is, there will be some kind of change over time. If I eat a Twinkie before bed every night, there will be a change with time because I'm developing something in my life. Now look, the same is true about more important things. In David's case, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, David had become the king of Israel. So all the elders, verse 3 says, of Israel came to the king and to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed King David king over Israel. Now, what follows are things that are kind of flyover country. You may not think about them, but they're both indicative of where David would go, both his success and his failure. So let me give you an example of each. Both of these are ways of thinking or habits that were at the time undeveloped, but did develop with time, either to the good or the bad. Let me begin with the success, because that's what you find. First of all, David's success. In verses 19 and 23 of chapter 5, the Bible tells us that David inquired of the Lord. When David had a decision to make, David didn't just rush pell-mell into something. He asked God. He wanted to know God's wisdom. And indeed, this is something that became very important to David. We know that he wanted wisdom. He wanted wisdom for his son. And when King Solomon asked for wisdom when he became king, I think it's indicative of what Solomon had seen as important in the life of his own father, that is, having God's wisdom. So David asked of God. He had a different situation. He didn't take an answer for granted. He asked a second time. He asked again. And David was far from perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to know God's mind on the issues of his life. And that revealed itself in the priority of his son, Solomon, to have wisdom for the kingdom. So that was a success that was at the moment rather undeveloped, but with time became a great blessing. Now, let me give you a failure. Okay, verse 13 of 2 Samuel 5 says, and David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron. And there were yet sons and daughters born to David. You know, Solomon, again, David's heir, famously had so many wives that they turned his heart from God. Now, this was accepted in the day for a king to make treaties with other kings by marrying into the king's family. A dad-in-law was not going to attack his son-in-law. So one king was not going to attack another if they were connected by marriage. There were a number of reasons that kings had large harems. And indeed, Solomon exaggerated what he learned from David when he became king. Now, while it was accepted politically, it was not God's plan. In Deuteronomy 17:17, the Bible told them explicitly that kings were not to do this, not to have a multitude of wives. So seeds were planted that were developed over time. The kingdom, as David knew it, came to an end politically because the personal life of the man leading the kingdom was not what it should have been. You know, when you think about it, how different, we think of David's great failure with Bathsheba. How different would one more, quote, Bathsheba be when David was accustomed to having many wives anyway? I think his discernment was clouded. I think his conscience was clouded as well. And so both the good and the bad, both the success and failure of David's life was developed with age, just like an undeveloped piece of film needs to be developed with time and with process. So when David was tested immediately in this case and then throughout life, what was in his heart as a habit, as an ethic, or as an assumption came to develop with time. May God help us every day to think about what we're thinking about what we assume, about what we hold to as our ethic, and the habits we employ every day, because such things will come to maturity and such things will matter in our life every day.